Turning in God's Word this evening to the book of Joshua in the chapter number 3. Joshua chapter 3, we're going to read some verses from this portion and then come and consider what the Lord would say to us through it. Joshua chapter 3, commencing at verse number 1. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Verse number 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. Let's seek the face of God and pray for his blessing and his wisdom to be granted to us tonight as we study his precious and holy word. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, tonight for the privilege of reading God's eternal truth. We acknowledge, Lord, that this book is our only rule of faith and practice. We thank you, Lord, we can lay our lives upon the truths of this book because it is a revelation of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for those who love this book because it brought them to a Saviour. Thank you, Lord, for those who follow this book that they might walk in holiness. Lord, thank you for those who read the book and meditate upon it that they might know more of the things of God. We pray, Lord, as we enter into a new year, Lord, that you'll give us a deeper love for this book. Lord, give us a real enthusiasm for the study of the Scriptures. Lord, may it not be something tagged on at the end of a day, but Lord, a very important part of our day where we meet with God and God communes with us. We pray, O Lord, that even in this short time as we spend it around thy word at the close of this service, we pray, Lord, this will be a time of great encouragement for the people of God. O Lord, teach us, we pray. Lord, speak with a voice that wakes the dead. Make the people hear tonight. Lord, lead thy people on. We pray, Lord, for the unsavedness meeting tonight. We pray, O Lord, speak to them tonight. O Lord, through thy truth, thy word, these words that can never fail, these words of eternal life. We pray, Lord, that this word will be a word in season. It will be as a nail in a sure place. I pray to this end, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Give me, Lord, just the ability I need, Lord, to faithfully proclaim thy living word. And at the end of this, may we see signs following. Oh, Lord, we pray you'll work in hearts. Change lives tonight, we ask. Lord, be in our midst, for we need thee. We need thee this hour. Draw graciously near, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To give you the context of the passage that we have just read, go back, please, to chapter 1 and verse number 1. We're here now in the book of Joshua, and it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, onto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And you'd read down chapter 1 and you'll find that it's a chapter that is filled with great promises from the Lord for Joshua to lead that multitude of the children of Israel into a new land, to face their enemies, to claim the land because God had given it to them. He was going at the word of God and he was going upon the promises of the Lord. Now, of course, in chapter number 2, 2 spies were sent out into Jericho, and they were to spy the land and see what the land was like. And it was very evident that the blessing of the Lord was upon them. It was very evident that the people of Jericho feared God's people because of what they had heard the Lord doing through and for the children of Israel. And in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 2, these two men return and they give the report. And this report is received by Joshua in verse number 24, saying, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." So we've come to the place where God has given his command. God has given his plan. The report has been gathered. It's very evident from this expedition that God's favor is upon the children of Israel. He is doing what he promised to do. And then we come to chapter 1 of verse number 3, and it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning." Joshua rose early in the morning. You see, the plan of God was for God's people to keep pressing onward. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now God wanted them to make progress. God wanted them to claim the blessing that he had for them. And it's God's desire that his people move forward. It's God's desire that individually as Christians we make progress in our lives, that we mature in our faith, that we become more Christ-like in our character. It's God's desire that the church of Jesus Christ would move forward with the Lord. And I wonder, has God spoken to your heart this year, Christian? I wonder, has God spoken to you and revealed unto you a plan for your life? Has God given you a command about something in your life that he wants you to do? And are you still sitting in the place where God has commanded you to do something? You haven't moved on. You haven't obeyed. You haven't made progress. You haven't done as Joshua did. You didn't rise up early and do what the Lord commanded you to do. Are you still sitting in the place where you were this time last year? Has God spoken to you about service of some capacity and you haven't obeyed? Has God spoken to you about witnessing and you haven't obeyed? Has God spoken to you about setting up a family altar? And as yet, you haven't obeyed. Has God spoken to you, Christian, about stopping doing something that's displeasing to him? And you haven't obeyed. Has God spoken to you about coming to a prayer meeting? And you still haven't obeyed. You see, we not only find the plan of God revealed here, but thank God we find obedience from God's servant. Because Joshua obeyed at the earliest opportunity. Joshua rose early in the morning. And Joshua rose up with the plan that he would obey what God had asked him to do. There's a little course that says obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe, that we are Christians. And it says, "Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." Now, this was not the first time that God had commanded the children of Israel to go forward. God had asked them to go forward. But whenever the 12 spies previously came and gave the report of the land of blessing, 10 of those men came with very grievous reports. Oh, yes, there was blessing in the land, but there were great problems. There were giants in the land. There were armies in the land. There were fortress cities in the land. And they looked at the problem rather than the promises of God. And the thought here in this verse is that there was no questioning this time. They got up and they did it. They obeyed this time. See, the last time with 10 men saying, "Well, you know what, it might be too dangerous. It's not a good idea for us to go, for surely we couldn't overcome the enemy." That brought great problems. You see, they weren't willing to obey God. They weren't willing to rest in God's promises. They weren't willing to do what God had asked them to do and receive the blessing. We can read about it in Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers chapter 13. But when Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "But we want to go. God is well able to do this. God is well able to bring us through. God is able to fulfill the promises that he made to us." The people actually were so angry that they were going to stone them with stones. You see, Christian, when you fail to go through with God, and when you fail to obey God's commands and rest upon his promises, then you have not only a disregard for the commands of God, but you become a great discouragement among the people of God. You see, there were those in Israel who wanted to go forward. But there are those who wanted to obey God's command. But you know what? There were 10 men holding a nation back. They weren't willing to go. They weren't willing to obey. A friend, you may not be the only person that loses out because of your disobedience. Your family might lose out. Your church might lose out. Your friends might lose out because you are not being a faithful believer and going through with God. So there was a plan. There was obedience here, but there was something else, because every single thing that they did in verse number 1 was done upon the basis of faith. You see, faith had to be exercised. The reality was they only knew part of the plan. God had not given an itinerary for what was going to happen this day and next month and next year. No, their purpose at this time and the plan at this time was to simply go over Jordan. And God usually does not reveal the whole plan to his people. God leads us and God guides us step by step. Perhaps we'd be very overwhelmed if we knew where we would be in 10 years' time or what God had planned for us in October of next year. But God leads us step by step. My friend, faith is stepping out on things known, yet not seen. Knowing, but yet not seen. And the disciples prayed and asked the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." And friend, maybe that's what we need. We need to pray for the Lord to increase our faith, that we'll take God at his word. That when the promises are given, then we just simply accept them and go on. Just as a child listens to a parent, when they ask that child to do something, they accept. Because that parent's in control. They know that parent loves them. They know that parent has an authority that's for their best. Friend, that's the way we need to be. Oh, Lord, increase our faith, that when God speaks to us, our simple response is, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And I ask you again, has God spoken to you this year? And your response being, "No, Lord. No, Lord, I'm not going to do what you would have me to do." What's interesting is this, that whenever they obeyed this first bit of the command to pass over the Jordan, if you look at the end of chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Until all the people were passed clean over Jordan," and that was the command that the Lord had given to pass over Jordan. Verse 1 of chapter 4, "Came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying." You see, they obeyed, and then God spoke and gave the next bit of the command. And you'll find that's right through the book of Joshua. Whenever they obeyed that command that the Lord gave them and they fulfilled the task that the Lord gave them, then the Lord showed them the next step. Friend, let's take the steps God has given to us. God has revealed, God has shown. Let's step out on the promises of God, at the command of God, into the blessings of the Lord. That's the first thing we notice there in verse number 1. But the second thing we notice is at verse number 2. "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host." And here we see spiritual leadership among the people of God. The officers, those who had authority over the people. You see, God had appointed men to oversee the work and to work for him. And they went through the people, and they not only just went through the people to see how they were, but it says that they commanded the people in verse number 3. There was a message for them. There was a message for them. And you know, this reminds me of the importance of spiritual oversight. And whenever we come to this church, we recognize that there's a congregation, and we thank the Lord for that. And there's also men who have been called by the Lord to preach and to serve in various capacities, to rule as elders, the spiritual oversight of the church, and to rule then as deacons or as committee men over the practical day-to-day runnings of the church. And it's important that they are recognized, and not only that, but it's important that they're prayed for, because they're men. Men at best. Men who can feel. And therefore they need the prayers and the encouragement of God's people. But what I noticed here was this, that it came to pass that the officers went through the host. They were doing what was expected of them. And what a challenge to all who have any office or responsibility in the congregation to do what is expected of us by the Lord. Men who are faithful in their individual lives, but men who are found participating in the work of God. And that's what these men were. They were faithful individuals who were participating in the work of God. You know, whenever we come to times, whenever we vote for people to come on to committees and eldership, you know, the Word of God tells us how to do that. And it tells us very simply, and I'll just read this verse of Acts chapter 6, 3. Brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And you know, that's a description of those who are working. And it ought to be a description. And therefore, there's a great challenge to those who have been called into leadership and into that place of responsibility. To be those men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who can trust the work of God. And folks, those of us who are in office, we need to pray for ourselves. We need God's people to pray for us too. We covet the prayers of God's people. But you know, as I was thinking about that, there's a great responsibility upon the congregation. Because it tells you to look ye out among you. You're the people to choose. And folks, whenever we come to times like this, it's not choosing your friends. And it's not choosing people because of rank in society. It's choosing people full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Honest men. Good report. And therefore, in this particular section, not only do we see God's plan going to the people, but we see those who have been called into spiritual leadership working among the people. Then we come to verse number 3, and here's the command. Here's the command to the people. Here's the instruction to the people. When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And what they were to do was to look out, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord their God came into their midst, then they were to follow it. They were to follow the ark of the covenant. Now, what was the Ark of the Covenant? Well, first of all, it was a provision made by the Lord. The Lord commanded them to build this particular ark that it might be in the midst of them. There were several things it was to do for them. First of all, it was to lead them. They were to follow it. Not only that, but it was to demonstrate that God had presence himself among them. Upon the ark was a mercy seat, and that's where God met with his people. It was a visible symbol of God's presence. His power, his authority would be in the midst. And as a result of that, it is indeed a picture of Christ. When we look at the Ark of the Covenant, as with the rest of the objects and the furniture in the tabernacle, we find that they pointed us to Christ. The ark was made out of wood. That speaks of humanity. It was overlain with gold, and that speaks of deity, the God-man, Christ Jesus. Every aspect of it pointed to Christ and to his work. And effectively, they were being told to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord, your guide, your shepherd, your leader, your Christ. And not only is it a picture of Christ, but the Ark of the Covenant was a picture of and teaches us about the Word of God. Because the word covenant actually also can be translated as testament. And similarly, where God's Word leads us, we must follow. Just as the ark was going forward and the people had to follow it, as God's word commands us and shows us the way to go, so too we must follow it. As the Lord speaks to our heart by his Holy Spirit, we must follow the plan of the Lord for our lives. Christ and the word are inextricably linked. They are one and the same. He is the revelation of God to man. When we read this word, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ to our hearts. And what were they to do there? Look at the last three words of verse number three. They were to go after it. Go after it. Follow it. Christian, there is no greater advice we can give you stepping in a few hours into a new year than this. Go after the Lord. Go after his word. Go after your Savior. What a contrast with the world today. They often go after those who are famous. They often go after those who have political power. And here is what was commanded. Go ye after the ark. Child of God, what are you following? In your life, day by day, what is it that leads you and guides you? What is it that's molding your perception of what is right and wrong? Or what is moral and immoral? What is God glorifying or God dishonoring? What is it that you measure your life by on a daily basis? Only the word. Only the word can suffice for these things. Go after it. And I tell you something. You follow the word of God and you will walk in paths of righteousness. There'll be a mark in your life. There'll be a blessing upon your life. And then we find something else in verse number four. Not only were they to follow it, but there was further description of how they were to follow it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. That space was approximately 1,000 yards. There was to be a distance between the ark and the people. And the reason for that was very practical, actually. If everybody was gathered together just right behind the ark, it was very possible people would not be able to see the ark. Their eye would not be able to be on the ark, of course, representing the word of God, representing Christ, our leader. And therefore, that distance was given that the whole company standing back could see the ark in the foreground, and they would follow that ark. Not only was that the reason why they had to stand back, but you know, the Bible says here, come not near unto it. The ark was a holy thing. It was a thing especially blessed by God. Reverence and holy awe were to be associated with the ark. There was one time whenever we read of the ark being transported. One man, he put his hand out to steady the ark and he dropped down dead. He didn't obey. He was touching the holy thing and he was dishonoring the Lord in doing that. Now, when we think about holiness, we automatically associate that with the presence of the Lord. Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphim, and each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain did he fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy. And I believe the closer we get to the Lord and the more we see of the Lord and his word, then the more unworthy we will feel as believers. The more in awe we'll stand that a holy God could love us, and the more sin will grieve us, because he said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And sadly, many of God's people are living in a world of unclean lips and unclean lives, and you know what, doesn't bother them. And it could even be that some of God's people are engaging in an unclean life or unclean lips, and it doesn't bother them. I tell you, you get to the word of God, the Lord will convict you. That's why it's so important. Friend, that is why the devil will seek to keep you from following the word of God, from reading the word of God, because it's through the word of God that the Lord convicts our soul, lovingly chastens us to bring us back into the right path, to give us the right attitude again, to give us the right character again. And the longer we stay away from the word of God, then the less influence it has over our lives. Oh, follow the word of God. Realize that this is a holy thing. When you open the book and you get before your God and in the presence of the Lord, this is a holy place. And in this regard, the Bible says there was to be a space, and come not near unto it. There was to be reverence, there was to be awe, there was to be holiness, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. And I tell you, you come to God's word with reverence. And you come to God's word with that humble spirit, a seeking spirit, looking to the Lord, fearing the Lord, desiring to obey him. Then the Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead you. Man by nature is very arrogant. We all are. We know that in our own lives. There are times pride wells up and arrogance wells up. But we need to come into the presence of God, not asking, as it were, for God to permit what we want, but coming in to ask, Lord, what does he want with our lives? And you know, God was going to take them to a new place. Look what it says, ye have not passed this way heretofore. Isn't this applicable for us tonight? We enter into a new year. We haven't passed this way before. But this is applicable for every day. This is applicable for every week. We have not passed this way before. But what the Lord is saying here is that the way to pass it is following him. That's the right way to go. That's the right way to enter the new land. It's the right way to enter the new year. It's the right way to enter the new day. They were going into an unknown future, but it was in the hands of a known God. Every step was going to be a new experience. Every day was going to be a new opportunity. There was going to be new ground. There was going to be new victories. But not only that, there was also going to be things that would challenge them. There were going to be enemies to face. There were going to be fortified cities filled of those who were against God's people and were a threat to God's people, and they were going to have to be faced. And you know, whatever the problem was going to be in the land of Canaan, the Lord was always the answer. The Lord was always the answer. Look to the Lord and he will guide you. And in fact, the reality was, if you read through the book of Joshua, the vast majority of the problems that arose and the challenges that the people faced in the land of Canaan were because of their disobedience or lack of full disobedience, going fully through with God. But as we stand and in a few hours' time go into a new year, there's new ground to take. New ground we'll walk across, new experiences we will have. In the will of God, new victories we will rejoice in. But we know there'll be enemies to face. We know there'll be challenges to deal with. And yet, how exciting it is, because while we have not passed this way, the Lord has. We're going with him. I thank God for that. We live in a world, let's be honest, if we really thought very much about it, we would automatically come to the conclusion there's a great hopelessness in this world. But friend, we are God's people. We're not living in hopelessness. We are living in the knowledge that God knows the future, and we can follow him. So therefore, what was the ultimate thing that the children of Israel had to do before they went into the promised land? Oh yes, it's talked here about the Ark of the Covenant, distance between. Don't come near it and approach it because of the holy awe and reverence. Here's the final thought. Verse number 5, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That word sanctify yourself means set yourself apart for the Lord. Set yourself apart for the Lord. Children of Israel, you're leaving the desert today. And you need to leave behind you those things that will not honor the Lord. And you need to be fully committed and devoted, because the Lord's going to do great things, but through those who are willing. We say to God's people tonight, we're going to leave 2017 and 2018. And you need to leave sanctified, that you'll be those through whom God will do wonders. What do we need to set ourselves apart from? Well, I believe there are several things as God's people need to just leave behind this year. First one would be human wisdom alone. That God has given us a mind and common sense to use, and unfortunately we don't use it half as much as we should, but that is to be used in relation to Scripture. Sometimes we make decisions based on our own wisdom, our own view of the situation, and we forget that we're standing upon this earth and we can only see this small, intricate space, and we make decisions without asking the one who's far above all and sees the end from the beginning. And maybe you've lived this year in human wisdom alone, making decisions because you thought it was best. Friend, we need to leave that behind and come before the throne and say, Lord, lead me and Lord, guide me. We need to sanctify ourselves and set ourselves apart from human effort. Now, that doesn't mean you don't work hard in the things that God has called you to do, but it means you work with the Lord. You see, you can be a very busy person, but you might not be working for the Lord. All we do must be for the Lord. Without me, ye can do nothing. What else do we need to lay aside and set aside and sanctify ourselves from worldliness? Worldliness. What is worldliness? It's really anything that goes against the character of God. And sometimes in the church we've maybe brought, well, worldliness is this, that, or, and we've a list of things that are worldly. I believe worldliness primarily is an attitude of the heart. It's a heart attitude. And because the heart isn't going after God, then in the life things are worldly. And we don't have any regard for what we might say or do, how it either blesses or offends the Lord. Friend, if that's the way you've been living your life as a Christian, then you need to pray, Lord, deal with the attitude of my heart, take out the worldliness. And you see, when the heart's right, then everything else will be right. Everything will fall into place. It's a heart matter, isn't it? It's a heart matter. My son, give me thine heart. We need to set ourselves apart from and sanctify ourselves from sin. If there's something in our lives, believers, if there's something in your life, something in my life, and we are doing that we know God is not pleased with, that is holding back the peace that we ought to have, and something that's really spoken of in Scripture, then friend, leave it aside tonight. Don't enter in with that burden. Don't go into a new year hauling all that nonsense that the Lord has saved you from and can deliver you from and give you victory over. We need to sanctify and set ourselves aside from pride. And every single one of us know what pride is. And you know, then sometimes the Lord uses us for a little bit and then we get welling up with pride. We're not usable anymore. Pride is thinking about ourselves before others. Pride is thinking we're better than others. Pride is disregarding God's commands and saying, I'll go my own way. Oh, may God deliver us from pride. We need to set ourselves apart from and sanctify ourselves from false teaching and false practices. And you need to be very careful where we go to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Because not every person who stands in the pulpit is a Christian. And not every person who stands behind a platform or a platform behind a podium is a faithful preacher of the Word of God. Not every program you turn on television on so-called religious channels is profitable for your soul. Not everything you listen to is going to lead you on with God. And we need to be very careful that what we listen to being preached is preached in and from the Word of God. Some people are very silly and very immature with their hearts and expose it to many things in many places without knowing what their standards are and their doctrines are. Friend, you be careful you're under faithful teaching of the Word of God. You open your Bible and see what the Bible says as the person preaches. And then the final thing we need to sanctify ourselves from and set ourselves apart from are our plans. We need to take our hands off our life. We need to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, you need to ask the Lord for his will. When you're making major decisions in life, whenever you're planning your future, pray that God's plan would be revealed and that you would fulfill it. God's ways, not our ways. And God has a plan for our lives. God had a wonderful plan for this people. The first time God gave the plan and the first time God gave the command, you know what happened? They did not go through with God. And they missed out on the blessing. But thank God for this people because they passed clean over Jordan. And you know where they entered? They entered into the land of blessing. The land promised by God for his people. The provision promised by God for his people. And you know what? The Lord blessed them abundantly, above and beyond all measure. Oh, they were walking about in an old wilderness because of their sin disobedience. But now they're into a place that's flourishing, flowing with the blessings of God. Friend, don't run about in the wilderness of your own plans. Don't hold back your life saying, I'll do what I want to do that makes me happy. I'll give God what's left. But I tell you, you surrender all to the Lord, and I can assure you, nothing will be held back from you. God's blessing will be your reward. And then, here's a wonderful blessing. Here's a wonderful promise. Listen to this. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow. Just a few hours' time. The people had to get their hearts right, and then the Lord was going to work miracles. You know what? He's still the same today. He's still the same today. Many people ask, well, why is God not doing this? Why is God not doing that? And could it be that many of God's people are not sanctified? Many of God's people aren't even desiring the blessing. And many aren't even asking for it. But here's what Joshua said. Oh, you sanctify yourself unto the Lord, and tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You see, friend, if you give yourself over to the Lord, there's no obstacle that you will not overcome with him. There's no enemy that will defeat you when you fight with him. Thank God, there's no problem too great that God can't bring you through. Brother sang a few months ago, through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all. I have learned to depend upon his word. Is that you tonight? Because there's not one person who wholly gives himself to the Lord that ever says, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh no, they always say, I wish I'd done it sooner. I wonder what wonders the Lord will do among us. I wonder what wonders the Lord will do in your life. I wonder what wonders the Lord will do in my life. We family and colleagues and friends that need to be saved, will that be the wonders that the Lord will work in our lives? We have a church here that need the Lord to work. Need the Lord to stir us in our leadership and our workers and our congregation. Will that be the wonder that the Lord does? Personally, in our lives, we need to have a boldness for the Lord. A love for the lost, a zeal for Christ. Will that be one of the wonders the Lord does in our life? Maybe the Lord will take somebody out of this congregation, call them to another service. But I know this, the Lord will work wonders among you. You sanctify yourself unto him. What's your desire for 2018? How will you enter 2018? In this meeting tonight, will you enter surrender to the Lord? Will you just stumble on from day to day, wasting time, missing out? And God could be working wonders in your life. And as I thought about this, and we're just closed tonight, I couldn't finish without saying this. You know, these people are getting ready to enter into the promised land. And the Bible speaks of another land of promise. Another land of promise that we can enter into. It's that land of glory. And the people who were going to enter into this land were people who were prepared and sanctified unto the Lord. And the people who enter the promised land of heaven are those who are saved by the grace of God. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, the hymn writer says, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. No chilling wind, no poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Are you bound for the promised land tonight? Are you ready for heaven tonight? Should the Lord come or call, where's your soul bound? I'm going to pray. Let's close our eyes and let's seek the face of God tonight. And as we do so, I challenge you, through the word of God, what has been heard, Christian, tonight, how are you entering 2018? I have only one life on this earth. As vapor it's passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth, ere toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life and white other fields. With compassion this great need I view, this one life that I have I will yield, and the little I can let me do. One poor life, small the offering at best, yet the world and the flesh often call. This my answer must be to each test. I'll not serve God with less than my all. Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. Child of God, tonight, if you need to surrender that life to the Lord fresh, if you need to sanctify your life unto the Lord fresh, if you need to leave things that you know are dishonoring in your life, then you do that right now. As you sit in God's house, you ask the Lord to forgive the carelessness of your past days and pray that tomorrow He'll work wonders among you. For those who are not saved in this meeting tonight, you've lived your life without Christ up until this moment, then we urge you, don't start a new year in sin. Don't start a new year bound for hell. But we'll beg you to come to the one who is life eternal. Call on the Saviour to save you. You wasted your life up to this point. But thank God you can start living tonight, as Christ can save you. Maybe tonight you'd like to speak to the Reverend McCrae, you'd like to speak to myself. Please make that known to us, and we certainly will go and counsel you from the Word of God. But friend, tonight, don't leave in disobedience to God. Christian, walk well with your Saviour. Start this year well. Go through with God. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for a sense of Your presence in this meeting tonight. Lord, we acknowledge so often we have to hear this message again and again and again. Go through with God. Oh Lord, sometimes the world creeps in. Sometimes self overrules. Sometimes the flesh has the upper hand. We get sidetracked and we lose focus. End up in Bypath Meadow. Oh Lord, we pray You'll forgive the wasted years, the wasted days, and You'll restore unto Your people the years of locusts of Eden. Lord, I pray for God's people. Give them excitement about going through with God. A great anticipation of what God is going to do in this individually, Lord, in this church and in our homes, our families. Lord, surely it's time for Thee to move. Oh Lord, let us not be the hindrance, Lord. Let us not be the barrier. Let us not be the one who is withholding the blessing. Lord, as we sang earlier in this meeting, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. May God grant it to be so in this meeting tonight, for His glory. We pray for the food that's been provided. Thank You for the provision of God, not just tonight, but through this year. Lord, receive of our thanks, and may we fellowship together in Christian and godly fashion, and then come into God's house to see you in the new year in Thy presence. In Jesus' name we pray these things.